thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland. And this is Alvin Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord to use us and our broadcast to be a blessing to you today. We are opening our broadcast service with the West Virginia Trio singing for us, It's a Happy Life.
Men today throughout this land cry for peace on every hand, seeking love and happiness that satisfies. They'll not find it on their own, that is not where they may roam. Only turning to the Lord brings happiness.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end.
It's a happy life.
Walking with Him. Through the heartaches, tears, and pain, man is seeking earthly gain. In this world of sin, true riches can't be found. If we walk with Him each day, He will guide this toilsome way to a wealth of happiness and peace of mind.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end. It's a happy life.
It's a happy life,
walking with Him.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, serving Jesus every day.
It's a happy life.
It's a happy life, singing, smiling on our way. He's our guide and constant friend, and we'll serve Him to the end. It's a happy life,
it's a happy life,
walking with Him.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Yes, it's a happy life, living for Christ. Our Father, we thank You for Your love in giving Your only begotten Son so that we could have life. And we are truly thankful for the life that You have given us. We're thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting the Holy Spirit will use us and will use our broadcast to be a blessing to each and every one in our congregation. I know that You love them. I know that You care for them. I know that Jesus died for them. And so we're asking Thee to bless each and every heart, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Too many miles behind me, trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember that there's too much to gain to lose. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Treasures awaiting over yonder, and there's too much to gain to lose. much to gain to
lose. Our subject for today's broadcast is a question, and I consider it a very solemn question, and I trust that you will also. When you come to die, what will really be important to you? And our text of Scripture is Hebrews 9 and 27. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Life is a wonderful gift from God. He has given us a beautiful world to live in. Although man has made a mess of many things, it's still a beautiful world. And He has given us richly all things to enjoy. But He has also given us laws to govern our manner of living. And these laws are given for our good. The commandments of the Lord are not grievous, but they are right, and they are for our good. Now, man is a twofold being. I realize there are those in the religious world who do not believe this, but we read in the book of Job, chapter 32 and verse 8, there is a spirit in man. And so we are physical and we are spirit, a twofold being. Now sin separates between man and God. For the wages of sin is death to the spiritual man. I realize there are many in the religious world who believe that we're all sinners, and that we all sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches us that we are to live a life free from sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Awake to righteousness and sin not. So sin brings death, spiritual death, of course. And we're talking about this spiritual death separating us from fellowship and from sonship in the family of God. Thus, having committed sin and died and been separated from God, we need then to be born again. And this is what Jesus told Nicodemus when he came by night to inquire in regard to what he must do to have eternal life. Eternal life is found only in Jesus Christ. And eternal life is obtained by repenting of and forsaking our sins by being born again. Jesus asked, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. When you come to die, what will really be important to you. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Again, Mark chapter 8, this time verse 35. Now, let's look at some examples. In Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, we have a parable by the Lord Jesus in regard to a rich farmer. He was a prosperous farmer, and his crops were blessed by God, yes, even though he may not have feared God or serving God, God blessed him just the same. All blessings come from God. It's in God that we live and move and have our being. And so this rich young ruler, or farmer rather, this rich farmer went out one day looking over his crops, and he saw how they were doing so well and how they were coming along, and it would be time to harvest them in a few weeks. And he thought to himself, well, these crops are doing so well, the barns that I presently have are not big enough, or will not be big enough, to take care of this harvest. And he wondered what he would do, and so he came to the conclusion that he would tear down those small barns, and he'd have his men to build bigger barns. And he said whenever he harvested the crop, had it safe in the barns, he would say to his soul, yes, say to his soul, thou hast much goods laid up in store, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, he would have so much that he could retire from farming for a while. But while he was thinking about that, he heard a voice. Yes, he heard a voice, and that voice said to him, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. He was startled, and he looked around, but he did not see anyone. But he felt definitely that he had heard a voice, and he concluded it was a voice of power and of authority. It is evident he did not consider God or the eternal welfare of his soul. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And he returned to his house, and he had such an expression on his face that his wife said to him, what's wrong with you? And he said, well, I heard a voice. And she said, you heard a voice? Yes, I heard a voice. Well, what did the voice say? The voice said, I was going to die tonight. Why, husband, you just had a checkup last week, and the doctor pronounced you in excellent health. Nevertheless, I heard this voice, and it was a voice of authority, and that voice said that he was going to die that night. And it came to pass that he did, just like the voice that he heard. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Luke 18, beginning with verse 18 and continuing through 23, we have another parable. And this time it was a certain ruler, and he came running to Jesus, and he asked, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And why callest thou me good? There's only one good, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he responded, all these have I kept from my youth up. So we have here a good moral man, but he did not have salvation. It's good to live a moral life, yes, but morality of itself is not salvation. It is not Christ, and it's not eternal life. You ask, you lack one thing, Jesus said to him, sell all that you have and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, Jesus did not mean to say by this statement that everybody in the world that accepted him as Lord and Savior had to literally sell all that they had. They must consecrate and dedicate all to him, quite true. But he did not mean to teach that everybody had to sell every material possession that they had. The reason he told this young man, this rich young ruler, this was because he had his heart set on his riches, even though he was living a moral life. When he heard that, he was very sad, for he was very rich. His riches meant more to him than eternal life. Again, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? This rich young ruler gave up the prospect of salvation. He gave up the possibility of eternal life to maintain or to hold to his material possessions. And this young man was not the only one that has done that and is doing that. Set not your affections on the things of this earth, where moth doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but set your affection on things above, where moth cannot corrupt, thieves cannot break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So this young ruler, being very rich, had his heart set on his riches and not on the things above. Now another parable in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, a rich man and a beggar. The rich man fared sumptuously or lavishly every day. He had everything he wanted, clothed in purple and fine linen, and he had plenty to eat. He had beautiful clothes to wear. He had a lovely home to live in. He had everything, as it were, that a man may want in a material way. And somebody brought this beggar and laid him at his gate. The beggar was full of sores, and he was laid at the gate of the rich man every day. And the poor man desired the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Now, the Bible doesn't say, but it appears as though the rich man ignored him and did not give him anything out of his abundance, which he could have done. The time came that the beggar died, and his soul went to be at rest with the Lord. Yes, his soul went to be in Abraham's bosom, which the Jewish people, the Hebrews, understood as representing the heaven or the place where paradise was located. So the poor man, the poor beggar died, and he went to be at rest with the Lord. The rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now, notice what we have here. We have the rich beggar and the poor rich man. And he, the rich, the one who had been rich on earth, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." So now we have the rich man on earth begging in torment, and we have the poor man on earth being a rich man in Abraham's bosom, or a place of rest. "I am tormented in this flame." He didn't say he was tormented by the flame. Doubtless he was, but he said he was tormented in this flame. And Abraham told him there was no passing to and fro. He asked for Abraham to send someone back to warn his brothers. Let me read in Luke chapter 16, beginning with verse 25. "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receive thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they can, which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass from to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Notice, he refers to where he was as a place, not a paradise, but a place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Jesus said to him, or Abraham said to him, rather, and he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now we have the Word of God today, not Moses, but we have the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. And you might say to me, well, what you have just referred to are three parables. Well, I would answer that with one question. Did Jesus teach falsehoods by parables, or did he teach the truth by parables? Jesus always taught the truth, and we need to take heed to the things that he taught. If you are familiar with the scriptures, you will see that in the New Testament, Jesus Christ spoke about hell or the place of torment more than any other in the New Testament. Yes, Jesus Christ spoke about it more than any other. And I say that Jesus Christ knew what he was talking about. So again, I ask you this question. When you come to die, and you will, because Hebrews 9:27, our text, tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, not a millennial reign, not a rapture of 7 years, but after death comes the judgment. So when you come to die, and you will, I say, what will really be important to you? Heaven or the lake of fire? And, beloved, each one who is listening to this service today must individually make their choice. Father and mother, brother or sister, even the preacher cannot make that choice for you. We are to make our own choice, and we must make it during this time world, for you'll not have another chance in the world to come. Jesus told us of two ways. One was straight and narrow, and he said, few there be that find it. And he told us there was another way, which was the broad road that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Now those that were on the narrow way were there because they chose to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those that were on the broad road were there by choice. They rejected the Lord Jesus and chose the things of this world and died in a lost state. We all must come before the Lord in judgment, as we read in Matthew chapter 25, when Christ comes, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the good from the bad, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And Jesus is going to say to those on the right-hand side, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit a kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he's going to say to those on the left-hand side, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire or into eternal punishment. Yes, it is a choice that we must make individually. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these scriptures and these thoughts to our precious congregation today. And may hearts be stirred and moved by the truth that these scriptures reveal. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. If it has been a blessing to you, I would invite you to write us and let us know. Our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now, our email address is truth@fred.net. Our email address again, truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. There's a number of copies there in our archives. Or you may listen to a number of our broadcasts, for they are also there located on our archives. And come the weekend, you can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins at 20 minutes before 11, and our Sunday evening service at 6. We also have a midweek service at 7, and our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. We trust that you'll tune in the station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.